So we're so glad that all of you are here to help us to celebrate this glorious feast of the Ascension of the Lord. Now we know that the Ascension is different from the resurrection, right? The resurrection happened on Easter Sunday, and Jesus stayed on the earth 40 days with his disciples, teaching them all that he knew and explaining the scriptures to them. And so those 40 days from Easter, if we count them, they come to a Thursday in the week. And years, all we celebrated was Ascension Thursday. So it was a feast day on Thursday, 40 days after Easter Sunday. But in the early 90s, many of the churches were given the option to change the Ascension to a Sunday so that more people could celebrate the beauty of the feast day. But there are some dioceses, some provinces in the U.S. that still celebrate on Thursday. If you're from New York or Boston, Hartford, Connecticut, I think, and for some reason, Omaha, Nebraska, still celebrates Ascension Thursday, but they both count. It's okay. I don't know what with this mic. Anyway, so for 40 days, Jesus taught the disciples all about the faith, more things about the faith maybe that are even recorded in the Gospels, and explained how the scriptures applied to him. And the disciples became full of knowledge of how to serve him. And then they gathered together, and on that 40th day, Jesus ascended on a cloud before them. And they are doing what you and I would be doing, staring at the sky. Wow! He went up in a cloud and he flew up in the sky. And then comes two men dressed in white, angels probably, who are my favorite characters in all of Scripture. Two guys come up. Here's the disciples like this. And these two guys come up, say, "Men of Galilee, why are you looking up into the sky? Jesus is going to come back." I almost feel like it's stop staring and go work. You know, don't stand there all day long. Do something for Jesus now instead of just standing there. All pushed off to do something for Christ. What did they do? What did they have to do? What did Jesus want them to do? Well, of course, all the things that he taught them, love of God, love of neighbor, all of those things. But in the gospel reading today, which is the end of the gospel of Matthew, this before Jesus ascended, he gave to the disciples what is known as the Great Commission. Here's your job. Don't forget this. This is the last thing I want you to know. And what was the Great Commission for the disciples? Go and work your own spirituality so that you can get to heaven. Is that what he said? Did he say don't do anything else but focus on your relationship with the Father? No, he didn't say that. He said go, disciples of all nations. Bring people with you. Work on your spirituality, certainly. Mass, prayer, rosary, all of those things that we use to help make ourselves better Christians. But it's not enough. You can't just work on getting yourself to heaven. You got to drag somebody with you. You have to make disciples, other people who want to get to heaven too. So Great Commission, our job, is not only to get ourselves to heaven, but get others there too. We have to take all that Jesus taught and all that we have learned so that we can teach that to others, so that we can bring them to heaven too, making disciples of them. He says, all that I have commanded you, all that I have taught you, teach to others. So it's our job to get other people to fall in love with Christ as we have. And so we teach them. We teach them here in an area of the country that is about 3% Catholic, what it means to be Catholic. Those people that we work with or who live on our block, who are good, strong Christians, but don't understand clearly what Catholicism is about. That might be one of our jobs, to help them to become better disciples. We have to teach them by what we know. Or we have to teach them and say, I'll find out. So that they can come to understand Catholicism as we understand it, which many of us have found out recently is not as different as they might think. But especially we have to teach others and make them become disciples, not by what we say or not by the clever answers that we give, but by what we do. Because the greatest teacher is not words, but actions. And if we are doing things that reflect Christ in the world, if we are working with those who really need Jesus, then we just might make disciples out of them. If we're working with those people who are hurting, and you know they're out there, you know who they are, you know who they are at work, you know who they are in your neighborhood, you know who the people are who need help. We need to be the face of Christ for them. Those who are hurting because they can't make ends meet because of the crummy minimum wage that they're getting paid, and they have to work 3 jobs and they're still struggling. We can help them. Or if they're going through a difficult time with their kids, maybe drug use or truancy or whatever it is, and that 30-year-old just boomeranged back and is living in the basement now. We know who they are. We know they need help. If we help them, we are reflecting Christ to them in a way that's so much better than quoting Bible scriptures and catechism quotes. Or those who are sick in the hospital. We visit them, we give great honor and glory to God, and we do one of the corporal works of mercy. We should be there. Or if they're grieving because of the loss of a loved one, and we gave them a casserole at the wake, and we never saw them again, well, that's not reflecting Christ, is it? We should be there for them, walking that journey, not solving their problems for them unless we can, but just being there saying, you know what? I want to be here with you to help you through it, whatever I can do. Because we all do that, don't we? People who are hurt, like let's say grieving, say to them at the wake, anything you need, call me. Anything you need, call me. You know what's better? Anything you need, I'm coming over. I'm knocking on the door, I'm bringing another crummy casserole next week and the week after. Because that's the way Christ would be. He wouldn't just do a one-time thing and walk away, no. So we are going to bring disciples to Christ if we do what Jesus taught us. If we work on our own personal holiness, certainly. But we have to make disciples of them by doing what Christ would do. Love God and love our neighbor. So let us not be afraid to do that. And if we're not sure if it's somebody in our neighborhood, well, you know what? We've got great programs here at the parish. We've got men's groups and women's groups and widowers groups and nester groups and ecology groups and all sorts of groups that you might consider joining to help serve the Lord and make disciples of others. We're ready to sign you up. All you got to do is go on the website, sign up, because we could always use more hands. And that's the way we can create more and more disciples. Because when we get there to the judgment seat, I'm not going to say, did you pray all your rosaries? Did you go to all the masses? He may not say just that, but he may also say, who'd you bring with you? Who else is in your train with you? Just you? Then why didn't you do the great commission that I commissioned you to do? Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. A challenge for all of us, clergy and laypersons, to get to doing the Lord's work and start tomorrow. Don't just conceive of it and think, you know, one of these days. No, we need your help. We need to make disciples. And that way, the kingdom of God will stand among us, and the Lord's work will be accomplished through us.